Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Always is.
Yes. Amen.
I just love to be around you. Hopefully you like to be around me the little time I'm around you. Hopefully I give off a sweet smell of aroma of Christ.
Amen.
And not a different type of aroma.
Amen.
Today I don't want to, take a long time making basic points, but I just want to make sure that you take a long time pondering these basic points. All right, so it's not so much the time it takes to get it across to you or convey the message, but how much time do you spend meditating, right, on the words of God when you're not here? And how much time do you apply them or just focus on trying to apply them to your everyday lives? Today we'll be talking about wisdom, words of wisdom. I call it Words of Wisdom 101. Anybody took in a 101 class, that is the essentials, the basic, the foundation, right? That's where it starts at. So if you miss 101 and you go to maybe 201 without taking 101, guess what? You are going to be missing something. All right? You will not know where everybody else is because you are missing some essentials. So Proverbs is the book that we're going to spend most of our time in, really all of our time in, except for the verse that was read earlier, which was Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, where Jesus was telling his disciples or his apostles, "Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, there's a lot to say just in that verse. All right, in those words, the Lord was telling his people that, look, you cannot go out there. You have to understand. You cannot go out there naive, not knowing what's going on around you, not knowing what time this is, right? Not knowing what kind of people you are facing out there. Now, I have your back. Don't get me wrong. Lo, I will be with you always. But you cannot walk unwise. Be wise with the wisdom of God. But I believe he's also encouraging them to be streetwise as well. Right? To understand these wolves out here. See, you may not know their hearts like I know their hearts, but you will know their fruit, right? And you can judge the tree by the fruit. So he's telling them, look, we got to mix some spiritual wisdom with some worldly wisdom as well. All right? So it is wise to do that. And if you don't know how to do that, this is when you become one of those brothers or sisters who only can spit the Bible out, but they don't know how to use it. They don't know what circumstances to use it, right? I know members who can just spit the words of the Lord out, but you have to understand, just like a doctor needs to know what utensils to use when, right? Well, we need to know how to use the word of God in our everyday lives. And when we're talking to people, it goes a long way. So we must be wise. But he does tell us to also be as harmless as doves. So we don't want to use that wisdom in a way that those wolves use it. See, they use the wisdom or the sneakiness and things like that to try to, kill, destroy, take, right? Do things that the Lord does not want them to be about. But we ought to use the wisdom of the world to uplift one another, to be better for one another. And to hopefully put ourselves in situations where we could get the most benefit for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So turn with me to the book of Proverbs. And if you didn't know, the book of Proverbs is written by one of the wisest men that ever lived. We can argue that he was the wisest. He probably didn't make all the wisest decisions in his lifetime. We know that he did make some mistakes. But that just shows us that no matter who you are, no matter how much knowledge you are given, you are still imperfect human beings, right? And Solomon, the one who asked for wisdom to lead the people of God when he was young, the same Solomon that God looked at and said, wait, I told you I'll give you anything you want, and you asked for wisdom? You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for more power, more territory. You asked for wisdom. Guess what? I will grant you all these things. That same guy, we read about him writing the book of Proverbs. And the Proverbs are just meaning short, wise sayings. Short, wise sayings. So they should be easy to kind of grasp, easy to kind of stick to you. You know, Like someone may say those sayings that your grandma used to say to you, you know, you get more out of honey than you do out of, what is it, salt or something like, you get more with sugar than you do from salt, right? Something like that. You all know those kind of things, right, where you can remember, they're easy to remember, and somehow I can't remember them too easily. But the fact is, that's kind of what Proverbs is like. It's a book of those things, all right? Don't look at it as just something that you can read into linear, just keep going down. No, it's short. Each verse may follow something different. And also, you're not to take it as in, this is 100% always going to be this way. Okay? The Proverbs was stated in a way where it's saying, this is what is going to normally happen. Okay? So when you raise up a child in the way they are to go, all right, they may stray away, but they may come. They're going to come back to it. Well, that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes the Lord may not give them enough time to get back. All right, to come into him. But this is what normally happens, okay? So that's how we should take the Proverbs. You don't want to look at it and say, I did this, so this should be the outcome all the time. That's not exactly how the book of Proverbs work, all right? It's like poetry, and we can find a lot of facts in there, but I just want you to know that. I want to make a disclaimer out there just so you know that everything is not always going to work out every time the way that it says, all right? But that's, by definition, that's what a proverb is, okay? Short, wise saying. So, for the first one I want to look at, I mean, it's so much wisdom in this book, but I picked 10 things, and I may not get to cover all 10 things, but I picked 10 things that I think really young people need to understand at an early age, and if they do, then they are by far ahead of a lot of people that are older than them. And then a lot of our older people do not know these things, or they may know them, but they act like they don't know them. And what does that mean? That they're acting foolish, right? The Bible calls that a fool. To know and not do better, well, we know that that is foolish. But I give you these words of wisdom 101, essentials you must know. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 is our first one, because I believe it begins here and it also ends here. Most of you probably can quote this verse. Some of you have taught your kids to know this verse. It says, the fear, and we know that fear means the reverence of the Lord, the respect. When you respect the Lord, he's saying, that is the beginning of knowledge. You want to be smart? You want to call yourself someone who knows something? Hey, you may know a lot of books. You may know a lot of math. You may not know a lot of science. You may know a lot of things, all right? But if you don't know this, the fear of the Lord, if you don't know where it starts from, where science, math, any other education you can get comes from, you are missing the mark. He said it starts with reverence for the Lord, because that is the beginning of knowledge. And he says fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is where it starts. He's saying you have to start off knowing, number one, that you need to respect the one who made you, right? You need to look back at the one who made you. You don't just get made and run about your way and forget about where you came from. You go back to the Lord so you can understand yourself. You go back to the Lord so that you can understand the ways he got you walking in. You go back to the Lord to understand the surroundings. Remember, he told us to be wise as serpents. You have to understand the times. You have to understand that we are living in Chicago. You have to understand that it's not safe like it used to be. You have to understand that there are certain people that you should not be around. But it starts with the beginning of the fear of the Lord. And he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to be foolish, think that you know it all. Think that you don't need nobody to tell you nothing else. Think that you already hear in your wisdom and your knowledge. He says, then you are a fool. The one who knows that they know something knows that they don't know a lot. And that means that we are always learning. So if you are a dog that's too old to, you know, learn some new tricks, you are a fool. You are a foolish dog. But I talk to even young people like that too, because sometimes they think they know it all, you know. But we also have to understand, we older, and I put myself in there, well, I'm getting older, but we need to understand that it's always about getting. We don't want to stop. We don't want to be to the point where I've got enough knowledge of the Lord. I've got the basics of the gospel down, so that's all I need. You want to continue to grow in your knowledge of Christ. And because the more you know about Christ, the more you will respect him. And the more you will put his kingdom first. Because you will say, you know what? It ain't so much about me. And the more you know about God, the more you know that you are just that little tiny bit, right, in the story. But he cares so much about you and me that he covers us with his blood. Each day we walk in his light. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 will be the next one. And it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows. Some of your Bible says the issues of life, the springs of life. I like that. Very important. This to me, when I read this, I think about putting a gate, you know, watch over, putting a guard, guarding what goes into your heart. You know, we have hearts that are very susceptible to what goes around it. And when I talk about the heart, what am I talking about? The mind, exactly. I'm not talking about your physical heart. Ain't no need trying to guard that like this. No, no. I'm talking about your mind. What goes into your mind frames how you look at life. So the messages that you listen to, the people that you, you know, you hang around to, the channels that you spend all your time watching. That is what he's talking about. We need to guard ourselves from. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Diligence means with all your work, with all your hardship. Work at it. So he's not saying, you know, just kind of watch, you know, it'd be a good idea to kind of look at, watch what's going into you. Do you know how easy it is for the seed to surf into your heart where you start to do things or look at things the way God does not want you to? For instance, when you're not doing so well, maybe physically, maybe you start to feel like somebody owes you something. Maybe you start to get down on yourself and you're like, why me, right? Maybe you feel like, the government not doing nothing for me. Maybe I need to take matters into my own hands, right? Start trying to find ways to cheat the system and do things like that, right? To be dishonest. This is real. This is how the devil works. It starts with little things like that. I remember I was a kid and, I wasn't a bad kid, but I did some bad stuff. And I remember there was a time where I used to collect these basketball cards and, you know, I would always want, you know, you always want the basketball cards that people know the people on the card. You don't want to show them the card and they're like, who is that? You want to show them the card and they're like, oh, that's Michael Jordan, right? Oh, LeBron James. Oh, Kobe Bryant, whatever, right? But you, when it was kind of like a lottery. You buy that pack, you don't know what you're getting. You may get 10 cards in that pack, spend $3. Who knows how much? Depends on the pack of cards you want. And you get that pack, you open it up. I was getting buster after buster, weakling after weakling. You know, I'm looking at these cards. I never heard of this person. Are they the water boy perpetrating to be? Who is this person? Well, this is how this thing starts to seep into your heart. I said, look, see, I spent my money on this. I deserve to get what I spend my money on. But from the get-go, I knew going in that I buy a pack, I don't know what's in it. But I started to think, you know what? No, I deserve Michael Jordan. I deserve something like that. So you know what? While the person's not looking, let me take a few of these. Go home, open that pack up. I don't remember what all I had in that pack. But I know it didn't take long for me to start feeling bad. And that was my conscience. Thank God I was given a conscience, a moral conscience. But I wish I had that before I took the cards. But what I'm saying is this. That's how evil seeps into us. All kinds of ways. So you have to guard your heart. Think about what information is being put into you. Think about your girlfriends, your guy friends, your homies, the kind of things they say to you. Are you watching what's going into your heart, what's staying there? Because for from it flows the springs of life. Or basically he's saying, for from what you have in your heart or your mind, that's where everything starts. That's where your life starts. And we know that because as you think, so you do. As you think, so you are, someone would say, right? So we have to guard our thoughts. It's very important. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. That'll be our next one. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. And it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid or foolish, some of your Bibles may say. Whoever loves discipline, how many of you all love discipline? How many love to be spanked when you were younger? How many love to be put on punishment? How many people loved it? Dad, I had a good day at school. Can you whoop me? Well, that's not necessarily what it's not necessarily saying that. But it's saying correction, right? Someone who wants to be corrected when they're done wrong. Put back on the right path. You know, do you like that? A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't like nobody say nothing to them. The moment, you know, you try to give them, you can say it in the most kindest spirit, and they still don't take it, right? Well, that could be us sometimes. That could be us sometimes, where we do not want to take it. Maybe it's the person it's coming from. We feel like it shouldn't be coming from them. Maybe. But you got to understand that God will use people. He will use people who are not even godly to check people who are godly sometimes. So you want to be careful. Not get that attitude where I don't want to be corrected. I don't want nobody telling me, you know, the error of my ways. Look, if I'm traveling down the wrong path and my GPS is all acting up, Google Maps ain't working for me, I'm going to take advice from someone who they may say, look, don't go that way. They may not know where to go, but they say, look, I just came from there. Don't go that way. You can learn something from anybody. So we want to be careful, all right? Don't get that attitude where you don't like correction. Or I would even say look for correction. Look for it. Read self-help books. Look for things so that you can do things better. We all, again, that goes back to the first point. We never stop learning. So remember, all right, and this is putting oneself in a place of a learner. This takes something called humbleness. You know what I'm saying? It takes us to be humble, to want to be corrected. In other words, listening to wise advice and being willing to learn and to grow. But if you hate correction, the Bible calls you stupid. You're stupid. You don't want to be corrected. You don't want to learn. Always be willing to learn and to grow and to change your path if need be. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. I'm going to stand closer to this fan a little bit. Bring my lesson over here a little bit. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. It says, wealth obtained dishonestly dwindles away, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. This is basically saying, get a job. Do things the right way, right? Don't be lying, cheating, stealing. You know, now y'all know, I told y'all before, I work in the juvenile detention center. I work with, you know, the teens, and they get there. Normally, they stealing cars. Sometimes they taking lives, right? But they will sometimes sit there and brag about the stuff that they have, but they stole it from somebody. That never made sense to me. I'm like, dude, how did you get it? Did you work for it? Did you go to the store and buy it? Nah, they was lacking. So I took their phone. They were sleeping, so I took this off of them. I'm like, so you bragging about that? Can't anybody do that that has a gun? Can't anybody do that? But they have to understand, see, it doesn't last. That kind of stuff doesn't last. God makes sure you reap what you sow. And that's the same thing here. So listen, older people, younger people, I'm talking to everybody. Be careful how you trying to get what you're getting. Because I'd rather be without. Or the Bible tells us, you know, to be with very little, right? And fear the Lord than to have a lot and not do things his way. I'd rather try to do things his way. Because I believe, and this is so important. This is so important for Christians to really understand that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. That's not just talking about those who read the Bible. That's talking about those who seek his kingdom first. Those who put his ways before their own. That's what the Bible talks about when you're talking about seeking him. The Bible says you cannot please him if you don't believe that he is.
But it does not stop there. It says you got to believe that he is, that he exists, but you also have to believe that he rewards you if you do things his way. If you don't believe that, well, number one, you're probably not going to even do things his way, and you're not going to be rewarded. Now, somebody else may give you some things, but if it don't come from God, it's not going to last. I'll tell you that. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. This is something that I really wish humanity would learn this lesson. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 tells us, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Listen, you want to see a fight? You want to see something? Yeah, he's like, yeah, you want to see Jerry spring up in here? Yeah, start turning up. Start talking harsh to people. Start talking with anger. When someone comes to you with something in a certain way, in a certain attitude, go right back with them in that attitude. And guess what? You just feed them fuel for the fire. And before you know it, that house is going to burn down. I think Martin Luther was the one who said, hate does not cast out hate, right? But love cast out hate. So the idea of, if you just going to be angry, and then you get angry, and then they get angry, and you get angry, you're just going to explode. The situation is going to explode. That's why people are getting killed and shot today. Starts with an argument. Oh, this, you don't see it my way. Oh, okay, you in my face. Oh, okay. That's how they want to solve an issue instead of being humble and saying, look, you can yell at me, but I'm not going to yell at you back. Because all that's going to do, we're going to be trying to talk over one another. And then to a point, we're going to get fed up. And one of us may end up hitting somebody. We may start scrapping. But the Bible tells us a gentle answer turns away wrath. This works even when you're talking about, you know, the world and dealing with people in customer service and things like that. Or even dealing with people when you're the customer. You may go into a store, they already have a bad attitude. Okay, you can get a bad attitude. But sometimes you get better service by being that one who puts a smile on their face. You know, you don't know where people have been. You don't know what kind of days people have had. And you know that people sometimes don't know the Lord like you do. So sometimes it takes you. I would say almost all the time it's going to take the Christian to be the hero, to save the day, to make the difference. So you need to be the one to have the gentle answer, even when there's harsh words coming your way. The Bible tells us to bless and not curse. Someone cursing you out, you cursing them out too? You may do it, but the Bible tells us that you're not being any different than one of them children of Satan. But if you want to be a child of God, you got to do things different. You got to do things different. So he says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. We talked about this already, being humble. There's an artist that made a song. His name's Kendrick Lamar. It's called Be Humble. He says, sit down. Be humble. He says some other words I'm not going to say. But he starts off the song saying, I remember syrup sandwiches. Syrup sandwiches. Anybody remember syrup sandwiches? See, when you look back to those days, some of y'all probably just ate a syrup sandwich this morning. But, I remember wish sandwiches. And that's when I used to, you know, be young and my dad he'll have something and I don't like what it is. And I'm like, I want a sandwich. I don't want this. You know, you don't like to eat your veggies and stuff like that. I'd rather have a sandwich, barbecue sauce, chicken, stuff like that. So you can have a wish sandwich. I'm like, what you mean by that? You're going to wish you had a sandwich. That's all. That's all you're going to get. All right. But those days, when I look back at that, it humbles me. When you look back where you came from, it humbles you. You didn't always have it like you have it now. You always didn't have money in your pocket. Some of you still don't have no money in your pocket. But sometimes we forget where we come from. Sometimes we forget that we need to be humble. We forget this verse that it says, pride goes before destruction. And an arrogant spirit or an arrogant mind or an arrogant attitude goes before a fall. Listen, you want to fall? Put yourself up there. You ain't going to have nowhere to go but down. But the Bible tells us when you humble yourself before the sight of God, what will he do? He will lift you up. And if I had time, I could read many times in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, when God talks about, I'm going to come down to that nation. He'll call them mountains, and he says, I'm going to cast you down to the sea. You all high and lifted up. You don't need anybody. No, you don't need nobody. You've been too blessed to be stressed. Well, guess what? I'm going to bring some stress on you like never before. That's what he had to do to nations. Imagine what he does to individuals. So remember, don't lift yourself up. Be humble. Always look for his paths and understand that you need him. He doesn't need you. You need him. Otherwise, you carry that pride around you. And like I said, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Destruction comes after that. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 10. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. And it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. This is just saying that it kind of goes with the book of Psalm, where it tells us that the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He leads us, right? Besides still waters and things like that. It talks about the Lord being our fortress and our rock that we can run to him and hide behind. I would say just do it. Just stay behind him. You don't have to wait till troubles come your way. You know, we always sing songs like that. Trouble come my way, then I run behind the rock. Why don't you just stay behind the Lord? Just stay behind the Lord. He is your rock. He is your fortress. And that's what this verse is telling us. It said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Strong towers in the days of the Bible, they had to have strong towers in the city. Because, number one, it was a watchtower so that people could see when there's enemies coming. Number two, there was fences or gates. I wouldn't call them fences. I wouldn't even call them gates. They were walls, built up, fortified walls. Well, he says, the Lord is a strong tower. That's that refuge, that place of refuge you can go when things are going your way. This is where you could be hidden in the love, in the mercy, in the power, in the knowledge, which will allow us to take courage as the sure refuge. When you're with him, you are set above. Now, I'm not saying troubles won't come your way, but you are set above the trouble or the danger that oftentimes besets us. We know we are going to have trouble. The Lord promises that. The Bible tells us that. Man are but a few days, and those days are full of what? Trouble. Amen. So we're going to have trouble, but when you have the Lord as your strong tower, you can still set your mind on heavenly things. You can still look and say, this too will come to pass. You can still look and say that I won't be defeated because I am more than a conqueror. Because the Lord gives me the strength to do that. So if you are righteous, you can run into that strong tower and be safe. Amen? I'm going to try to dwindle this away. So you may have to write these verses down. I'm going to read them kind of quickly. Next one is Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18 and 24. It says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have unreliable friends? Do you have people in your life that are unreliable, untrustworthy? I especially speak to my young brothers over there or anybody else younger who you know, we oftentimes run with crowds when we're younger. Now, I don't know about you all. I wasn't one. I was more like a lone wolf. I was an alpha dog. I was an alpha male. I wasn't trying to be no follower. I'm going to be the trendsetter. But oftentimes, we find ourselves running behind the crowd. Well, you be careful. This is basically telling us, be careful who you keep around you, right? Because one who is unreliable, that friend can lead you to ruin. Yeah, yeah. That birds of the feather do flock together thing. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend that you can rely on. There is someone who you can rely on his words. You know, Job had some friends. Y'all remember Job? He had some friends. Yeah, yeah. Or they called themselves friends. And when he had trouble coming his way, they had all kinds of wise answers for him, right? All the things that wouldn't build you up. But we know that we can have friends that can be like that as well. That don't look to build us up. They look to bring us down. They don't care about themselves, so why would they care about you? They don't care about their own life enough to follow the Lord. So why would they care about leading you astray or not? You better be careful who your people are. Be careful who they are. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 says, "A good name is to be desired more than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." That is Proverbs 22 and verse 1. A good name is better. It is more desired than great wealth. How many people want to be wealthy? How many people want to be comfortable? I don't need to be wealthy, but I would like to be comfortable. You know, where you don't really have to think too much about where your next things are coming from, you know. But as much as you want that, you should want to and desire to have a good name. The Bible tells us that, well, I'm not going to say Jesus had all these people who just loved him. But it does tell us that he grew in favor with the Lord and with who else? With men. Yeah. So we can grow in favor in God's eyes and with men. Now, everybody's not going to like you. No way, no how. But you can at least have a good name for the Lord. I'm not worried so much about what people think of me. I'm worried about how I represent the Lord. That's all that really matters. Because if I'm representing him right, real will recognize real. But if I'm not representing him right, and people see me more than they see Christ, that can be a problem. That is a problem. But if we have favor with God and men, it is better than silver and gold. And the last one I will say is Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Proverbs 25 verse 28 tells us, "Like a city that is broken into without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit." Again, that word spirit means your mind, your attitude, your emotions. This tells us that we need to have self-control. If you don't have self-control, if you don't have control over your mind, again, if you don't watch the things that go into it, you better be careful. Because as I like to say, you're giving somebody your leash. You're giving somebody your leash. They could take you wherever they want you to go. They know what button to push, and they know how to get you there. Oh, you a Christian, huh? Oh, you got your Bible all the time, huh? Watch this. Your mama. Oh, what? Taking off your clothes. I'll put them Christian clothes back on later. I'll put Christ back on later. Let me handle this business first. See, when we don't have control of ourselves, everybody else has control over us. Amen. And it starts with our enemy. And that enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. So be careful, because if you do not have self-control, if you don't have control over your spirit, and when I say self-control, I really mean, you know, when you don't let God control you. Because we really can't, you know, we really cannot control ourselves. We have to let the Holy Spirit take control over us. But when you don't allow that to happen, you are like a city. We just talked about it. City had those big fortified walls around them. Because when enemies would come, that would keep them out. But when you don't have those walls, you letting anybody into your house. Anybody. You might as well not have no alarm. You talk about alarm systems and stuff like that for home. What's the use of that if you just, you might as well give it all away. Well, that's what he's talking about, spiritually speaking. When you don't have control over your mind, when you don't understand yourself, what makes you tick, your weaknesses and things like that, yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because that's a playground for the Satan to come in. He will disturb your mind. He will take your peace. He will take your comfort. He will make you turn around and say, "How did I get here?" So these are some words of wisdom. These are just some words of wisdom. I hope this, if you haven't read the book of Proverbs, I hope this kind of maybe whets your appetite to want to read this for yourself. This and the book of Ecclesiastes, I would say, continue to get wise. Continue to seek the wisdom of God from above and continue to be wise as you navigate among wolves. Because that's what is really going on today, even now. We may not be sent out in the same way that the apostles were sent out, but we do have a mission.
We are called to represent God on this earth. We are called to be the creation, I would say the recreation. We were called to lift up praises to his name, but not just lift up praises to his name. Not just come here and lift up praises to his name. We are called to be that light that a lot of people will not see anywhere else but in you. And when you are that light, and when you walk with wisdom, then they will understand. Then they will want to know. Look, you not just know, you know, someone who just has a Bible around and someone who just likes to quote the Bible. You can actually tell somebody some wise things in their situation, in their life. You can speak words of life in their situation. That is what makes people want to be Christians. That's what makes people want to be a child of God. It's not that they're not impressed by you just being able to recite things. They want to know how much you care. They want to know how much you love them. They want to know how much you really believe and stand for what should be in you. Well, again, I'm going to go back to the beginning. If you have not come to the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And you may fear the Lord. You may have some reverence for the Lord. But if you have not acted on it, you are a fool. Because if you know and you act like you don't know, you're a fool. If you know that he is the Savior, he's the only one, no other name, you need to come to him as quickly as possible. Don't let anything beset you. Come to him, running to him, because he has his arms open for you. But right now, you are in your sins. And that's no plaything. When you die in your sins, you are eternally separated from him. I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to be in that place. But he has died so that you can be in his place. He has took your place. He has come from above, come down to be even under his creation, so that he can lift you up to be above with him one day. Take him up on that offer. Run to him. Be cleansed of your sins. Be baptized today. You must hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. That means turn to him. Confess that he is the Lord, the Savior, the Son of the living God. And be baptized today for the remission of your sins. You can do that today. Maybe you're just someone who will not walk in wisdom. Maybe you just need prayer for more wisdom. The Bible tells us if you need wisdom, ask for it. And the Lord who gives liberally will give them to you. Whatever your need may be, as we stand and sing the song of invitation, I bid you to come. I bid you to come.